Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey, good Friday morning to you, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here with you to wrap up the week. We have the CFP semifinals underway and continuing on tonight. A wonderful start to that last night. Really fun game to get things going. We got a lot of college basketball coming up this weekend. We've got NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. We're going to pick a lot of football games. We'll do our Friday football picks coming up in just a little bit. Full crew is in with us, so we'll have that in the next hour. Also coming up on the show today, we're going to have a little Royals talk. It's been an interesting stretch of, 7-10 days for the Royals. They've extended a manager. They've got arbitration cases coming up. There's news on the television broadcast front. A lot of just different things. They've made some signings. They haven't made the big trade. We're going to bring in our Royals insider, Jalen Thompson, later in this hour to dig through some of that with us as well. Your calls, welcome at 869-1240. Your comments, welcome on all the video streams available to you, Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks also to those watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks to those listening to us on the Odyssey app. We appreciate you. All the different ways you bring in your participation into the program. And everything we've got coming for you is What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring chili for a limited time. Hearty beef, no bean chili is perfect for lunch and now available at all three WBC locations, East, West, and Historic Delano. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We got four more days in a row of playoff football. I don't know if I can handle it. I feel like I'm dragging this morning after what I watched last night. We got another one tonight and then two or three tomorrow. I can't remember. And we just keep on going.
Yeah, we'll go all the way through Monday with football. I love it. I love it. It's unusual this year because we don't have the Chiefs involved. And that's a little strange. We're used to the Chiefs participating. We would spend all of this time, all our energy getting ready. Well, maybe for a bye in this week.
We probably didn't see the Chiefs play this week.
That's right. But it is that time of year. It's good. I'm really, really happy with the way the CFP is going this year as far as the future of college football. This season as a whole, as we see Miami win 31-27 over Ole Miss last night, the season as a whole has, to me, been, I know our local teams didn't do well at all. Kansas and K-State both struggled. But just in general for college football, there's a lot of chaos right now that none of us really like. But it is creating a more even playing field, I think, among the top teams. Now we have to figure out, you know, the top teams to the bottom teams. And I know everybody's, Chris Kleiman spoke about that a lot. And man, I just keep going back to the fact, though, that it's always been that way. Like, it's always been the haves and the have-nots in big-time college football. But nothing has changed now that a handful of teams spend a whole bunch of money. A bunch of teams were spending a lot of money forever. We've always done this. Now, though, at least we have a playoff field, I think, that, you know, can at least give teams a chance. And the other thing is, too, like it or hate it, the transfer portal gives teams a chance to kind of come in and strike while the iron's hot. And, you know, maybe it's not sustainable, but for small stretches, you've seen in recent years some of the best football seasons some schools have ever experienced. I mean, we're seeing Ole Miss experience their best football season ever. Think about those fans. Think about Texas Tech this year. They rarely, if ever, get to experience something like that. Indiana. You know, it's been TCU in recent years. Like, these teams that are just on this special run, okay, maybe it's with new players every year, but for the fans at this, you think any of those Ole Miss fans last night were terribly concerned with how many years those guys have spent in the program?
No.
You think they care that Chambliss came in and helped steady that ship and take them to the semifinal? Of course they don't. I mean, we do now for the teams that aren't in it because the transfer portal is absolute chaos and it's impossible to keep up with and nobody likes it. But at the end of the season, for the teams still playing, they don't care. You think Miami cares that Carson Beck's been playing football for 7 years or whatever it is? They don't care. They just care that they're playing for a national championship.
I think this, I've gone back and forth on this. I think that I'm in the camp of, obviously, NIL and the transfer portal have let us have a playoff that we could see, you know, Miami being back, Ole Miss their best season ever, Indiana is the best team in the country, like Texas Tech, the list goes on of people that typically aren't in this. And I think in the old model, probably wouldn't be because, you know, I'm with you as the haves and the have nots. It used to be nobody got paid. And so everybody just went to Ohio State. Because, yeah, I'll just get drafted at Ohio State. It's cool to play there. Like, this at least gives Indiana a chance to get some of the guys that typically would not go there.
And you know what I mean? But we cannot be so naive to say nobody got paid.
I know, but you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like if they did.
Nobody publicly got paid.
Sure. Even acting naive in this situation, even if they did get paid, like, they aren't getting – there wasn't the stark difference that it is now. You know what I mean? Like –
yeah, it's the transfer portal. The transfer portal is the thing that is so jarring, I would say, because now, guys, there's no, you know, you might have gotten paid, but you were loyal to your school, right? You stayed there. You were there for a long time.
I mean, that was always the biggest complaint of, you know, high school TJ that just, you know, casually watched college sports, stuff like that. Like, why would I invest my time into something? Why would I invest my time watching KU or K-State football whenever every five-star just goes to Ohio State or Alabama? And then they're going to go, and they're going to go be in the CFP, and it's going to be the same four teams every year. And then the next year, guess what? All those five-stars in high school are going back to those schools because they went to the championship, and it's an endless cycle over and over again. This breaks the cycle a little bit. The problem we get to now is that it can break the cycle every single year, and you can just keep doing it.
We share a brain on that. I've always been at the set, like, investing – the amount of energy into college football versus the NFL, for instance, it's like, how do I do that when forever, you know, that the teams you love the most really don't have a chance to win a national championship? You can't say that anymore, right? No. You can't, at least in the Power Four, like, you can't say your team never has a chance because look at Indiana. I mean, period. Look at Indiana, right? Look at what I keep using them because they're Big 12 examples. Look at what TCU was able to put together for a year. Look at what Tech put together for this year. Like, you can't anymore say your team never has a chance. You can't, because all it takes is one special year. Now, it might be 1 year because you may lose all the, you know, that's the challenge here.
And that's the hard part that everybody complains about. It's cool to pull in, like, Cignetti doing it in 1 year. Like, and this is all, you know, even last year, I'm saying his first year, he turned into what he did. Like, that, it's cool and it's awesome to do and everything. But then the hard part is for people like, you know, I don't know who the good example is here. James Madison's the perfect example of this, actually. James Madison just made the college football playoff, was a top 25 team, had the dream season, you know, won the Sun Belt, all of the things. And then every single offensive starter is now in the transfer portal. And that's just what's – and they probably got their entire offense out of the transfer portal because the team before that left too. So it's hard.
And that is the problem. Good for all those kids. I thought this is where you were going to go and you didn't, and I'm glad you didn't. That James Madison got there but never really had a chance. Because I was going to say that's exactly what we see in the NCAA tournament all the time. Teams get to the Sweet 16 and they don't actually have a chance, right?
I'm very much in the group of they need to be in there.
Yeah, they need to be in there just because it makes the season more fun. And if you get the upset, it is the greatest thing we have in sports, the Cinderella. I mean, it just is. And again, we saw Alabama get housed too. Like, don't give me that nonsense because that can happen to anybody. All right, we will get more into that game throughout the show. We'll get more into a lot of different things. What did we think, 31-27? Was that a good outcome? I could not decide who to root for as I'm watching that game.
I agree. I went back and forth.
Couldn't decide. We'll come back.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
too. You gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here with you. Glad to be with you on this Friday. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up. I want to tell you also that high school sports coverage on Sports Daily brought to you by Zintex Remodeling Group. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zintex Remodeling Group, Zintex.com. Catch your high school scoreboard show tonight. Got to catch Kansas show tonight on 12 News as well. That high school scoreboard show as you're making your way around town right here on KFH. All right, TJ, the game last night, Miami 31-27 winners, gave us everything we could have hoped for. It was fantastic. Just a really good back and forth game. I think Miami is on a pretty special heater right now. I'm satisfied that it's an ACC team in there. Now at this point, I hope an ACC team wins for sure. I think that's better for the ACC and the Big 12. So that part's good. I got to ask you, though, the final play of the game, a Hail Mary from Chambliss, did you think they should have called PI?
I think I kind of did in the moment, but then I think looking back, I mean, they were making a play on the ball.
I mean, the only part for me is the ball was a little overthrown. So if you
I think the corner was making a play on the ball is what my thought was. I mean,
play on the ball by holding the other guy down. He grabbed his jersey and pulled him down. Now it's at minimum a hold, right? Yeah. If it's not PI, it wasn't egregious, but I do think it was pass interference at any other time in the game. The only thing is maybe the ball's a little bit overthrown and you're saying it's uncatchable, but I don't know that I buy that either. What I think it is, you can't call that to end a game. And man, I can't tell you how much I hate that argument. You got to swallow the whistle. No, you don't. Pass interference is pass interference is pass interference. How would you swallow the whistle and not call the game the appropriate way at the game's biggest moment?
I agree. Oh, man, I don't know. I'm rewatching it now because I need to see it in slow-mo.
In slow-mo, he grabs his jersey and pulls him down.
It might have been.
So I think that was a missed call. Not egregious, not like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it if I'm Ole Miss, but it was pass interference, and they should have blown the whistle. And the other it's not even a spot foul, right? So it's not like they get it at the one. It would have been a 15-yard penalty, and they can try again.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I don't know. I can see where it's both ways because I still think that he had a chance to make a play on the ball. So that's the hard part of it, and it was a little overthrown. But in the same breath, if he wasn't getting his jersey tugged on, would he have made the play? I don't know. It's interesting.
It's just not, you know, it's again, I don't think it was an egregious one. It just, I look at it and I'm like, huh, this is one of those things where people will say, well, you can't make that call in the game. And yes, you can. If it's the penalty, it's the penalty. Brandon Alexander 615 says, I feel like the receiver beats him to the corner if the defender doesn't hold him. He for sure does that. I think there's no question about that. I think the question is, did the defender have a play on the ball? Which is probably what the officials would tell you. But he for sure held him back. I don't think it was much as he added. I think the DB was like, this is the final play of the game. We're not going to let him catch that ball. And so he held him down. I think it was pretty clearly PI. And I think they should have thrown the flag. What does it do to the outcome of the game? I don't know. It's still, you got to make a play from, I think, what would they have been, about the 15-yard line? Still got to make a play.
It's true.
But man, that's a tough way to go down. Ole Miss ran the right play. Right. It was a pretty good look. I think Chambliss overthrew it by 6 inches, maybe not even too much, but it was the right play and they had a pretty good look at it.
I'll bring up this hypothetical because we talk about this all the time. What if that ball was underthrown? Is that PI then?
It is in the NFL.
I know. Now, they call it every time.
The question becomes, do they make the call though? I think it's
if it's underthrown, I think they would
call pass interference as time expires. And you should call it the same at the first snap of the game as the last snap of the game. but that takes a lot of cojones for an official to make that call.
Especially in football. Like in basketball, you can maybe make the argument of, you know, letting them play a little bit, but you still shouldn't. But you still shouldn't. I'm with you. But like basketball can be a little bit more subjective. I mean, in football, like if it's a penalty, I mean, you can see it that it's a penalty most of the time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, a penalty is a penalty. It doesn't matter. If there's a false start, if there's holding, if there's – doesn't matter. Like, it's not like you don't – the defense is offsides and you just don't call it. It's just the last play, guys. We're just not going to call that.
Do you remember the Kadarius Toney offsides call?
Remember the D Ford offsides call?
Oh, well, yeah, obviously I remember that one. I'm talking about the crazy lateral that Mahomes lost his mind about for 5 minutes after the game.
Yeah, and that's the incorrect, by the way. You call the penalties. Don't have a penalty if you don't like it. So I thought I was a little bummed out by that. I thought they could have spent just a little bit more time with it on the broadcast. It sounded like Fowler and Herbstreit disagreed a little bit. I think Fowler was trying to be like, no, man, that's kind of it. And Herbstreit was more like, but it's the last play. He's going for the ball. You can't call that. And I'm like, I hate that thought. Hate that thought. Yeah, otherwise, then the defense on every final play of every game should just be like, throw everything at them, guys. Just maul them because they're not going to call anything.
I don't know.
I call it.
In the same breath, in the NFL, it feels like, hey, we need a big play here. I'm going to underthrow this ball. Just take the hit, and we'll take it. We'll go to the five.
The great quarterbacks are good at it. But again, I don't want that to take away from what was a really, really good game. It was an awesome football game. You saw two quarterbacks kind of going toe to toe a little bit. The playmakers for each team that we've seen throughout the season make big plays. Made big plays, and it was great. It was everything you want in this round. You don't want the blowouts. I think it's pretty good proof that, you know, these two teams were, you know, not rusty, which was a problem for some teams last week, and I really hope tonight's game follows it up. I don't know if I think it will. We'll make that pick in a little bit. Indiana, Oregon. I get it. Like, it's hard for me. I don't know if it is for anybody else. It's hard for me to wrap my brain around Indiana actually being good. I'm sorry. My whole life, I've seen them not be good. It's hard for me to really think of them as the nation's best team, even though they very clearly are this year. Can they beat Oregon? I don't know who I want to pick tonight. I still don't know. That's the one, as we get down to it, where I'm like, I don't know what I want to do with that. We got, you know, 35 minutes to make that decision or whatever, but I can't decide.
All right, here's a stat for you. Ian Miller just tweeted this one out on X. With Miami beating Ole Miss, the SEC finishes 1-8 against Power 4 teams of other conferences in bowls, 0-3 in the playoff against other Power 4 conferences, and the SEC doesn't get the title game for 3 straight years. So look for Greg Sankey to push for 9 SEC teams next year to make the playoff.
That's right. I think that that's been a really good thing. I think that what I don't like, though, is that the Big Ten has had some success, because I do think the SEC traditionally is better football league than the Big Ten, and I think the SEC has been the best league for a while. Do I think it's to the level that they would like you to think it is? No, I don't. But, you know, Texas Tech notwithstanding, the Big 12, all the other teams would not have done well in a college football playoff. Like, who's the next best team? BYU? I don't know that I can see BYU going toe-to-toe with any of these remaining teams. Texas Tech was the one team this year. Now, there have been other years where you could say that, but it is good to see them knock down a peg, for sure. That go ACC. That's the thing I kept going back and forth with last night. Like, this Ole Miss story is incredible. We all love it. We all love the Ole Miss story. But, man, it'd be nice to see the SEC or the Big Ten not win a national championship as we're going into serious discussions about what 16 teams looks like. Because that's happening right now. Like, that decision, if I had to bet my money on it, that decision will be made and we'll have 16 teams next year. So not having them win it this year and not having, as those discussions happen, the Big 12, you know, Brett Yormark being able to, you know, Greg, you guys went 1-8 in the play. Like, I don't know what you're talking about here. Yeah, like, what are we doing?
It's true. Yeah, it's a that's a fun conversation to have of last night, as you brought up earlier in the show, of who did you feel like you were rooting for in that game? Because I'm with you in the fact that my brain tells me you needed a Miami win for the Big 12 because we're Big 12 people. But also in the same breath, it's like, man, if Ole Miss won a national championship without Lane Kiffin, that is the story of college football.
Yeah, it'd be so good. Indiana's also the story of college football. I mean, they're all good. Miami's a good story, right? Last team in, nobody wanted them to be there. Like, they're a good story also. Yeah. It's just, what's our ultimate goal here? The reality is we're going to get 16 teams, I think, next year. I think it's happening next year.
Can they do it that fast?
Yeah, oh yeah. They did it. Yes, you just say, all right, we're going to 16. What they can't agree on, the problem is, how does it get formatted? I think everybody, I think, has the appetite to get the James Madisons in there. I don't think anybody wants that to go away. That's one, though. So what do you do with the other 15? And if it's just at large, again, I've made this case a billion times on this show. I think that actually hurts the Big 12 because if you go back and you look through the CFP rankings and you take out Texas and Oklahoma, historically, I mean, it's not there's not great representation there. So if you're telling me you're guaranteeing me two and leaving me more chances for a third at large, the problem is, though, like, are we all going to swallow the fact that the SEC and the Big Ten just get to automatically have those teams? Because there'll be lots of years where they'll get auto bids where, like, that team sucks. Like, that team should not be here.
That's the hard. And I'm with you on the fact, if you could sign me up for two Big 12 teams guaranteed and maybe a third if they get an at-large, I'd be all in for that. But the hard part is that if you agree to that, you're also agreeing that the Big Ten gets what? Four? What was the number?
Four or five? Yeah, whatever. Yeah, they're trying to do.
No way that I would agree to that.
It's
because in the same breath, you do that, and then BYU would be in otherwise this year, basically. And then if you agree to that model, then it's like, well, BYU couldn't get in because we need to make sure we got Iowa in.
Well, if you had two, BYU would be in. Let me just pull up the final season.
Okay, Utah. Sorry.
And Utah would get housed in this. That's okay. Let's look at our CFP rankings for the final week here. 20. Why did it pull up 2019? All right, Indiana. So if we go down on that, like if it was just all at larges, you would have had Texas Tech. Well, all minus one, right? All minus one because you're going to have the next highest team, right? So all minus one. So 15 teams. Texas Tech is in at four. BYU would have been in this year at 12, Utah might have been in at 15. So maybe this is the case this year where if you're a Big 12 fan, and maybe I'm wrong about this, maybe it's like, okay, well, they'd have been there. Let's look at 2024. You would have had Arizona State in at 12, and that's it. In 2023, and we'll only do this one more time. We'll just do the last 3 years. How long is last year Texas's first year at the Big 12?
20
or second?
24 was their first year in the SEC.
Yeah. Okay, so 23 they were still in. So you'd have had Texas, you'd have had Oklahoma, and that's it, right? So those two aren't there anymore. That's what I mean. If you go back through this exercise and like subtract Texas and Oklahoma, it's slim pickings for the Big 12 being the top.
2022 is the year to look at, though. You get K-State. TCU, Horned Frogs, K-State Wildcats, and Texas? Or Oklahoma, I think.
No, just those two.
No, that was the next year. The next year Oklahoma was good, that's right.
Yeah, just those two. Just Kansas State and TCU. So at best, I guess we're seeing three, because that's what we saw this year, right? That's at best. At worst, it's going to be one.
Yeah.
So do you settle for two guaranteed? Or do you roll the dice and think that the Big 12 can elevate to get to five?
I would do it if I could limit the Big Ten of the SEC to three apiece, and that's fine with me. And I'd swallow
So you'd have five, you'd have six, you'd have 11. That'd leave you four at-large teams.
I'd be fine with that. I can't do it to where there's like it's all just settled by conference and like there's two.
And the other thing, if you have two, that's a problem. is at that point, what is the conference championship worth? I mean, it could be worth a home game, maybe. Maybe you do the whole, the conference champions are the top four seeds and are guaranteed home games. I mean, that could make the conference championship game have some value. You could do what I think, which is have two play-ins, right? You have, but to see, that would be cool if you did, though, three teams each, and you'd only have 3, 6, 9, 12, 13. You'd only have three at-larges in that scenario, which is probably not enough, to be perfectly honest, because then you could play conference semifinal games, take the, you know, but that's probably the best case scenario here is to just have the one conference champion guaranteed in. I can come around to it. I just have to understand and be comfortable with the fact that there's going to be a lot of years where that's just one out of 16 teams for the Big 12.
I would even go as far as to say, which I don't think that the others would agree to this, if you could make it to where everybody got two and you separated it into an AFC, NFC type of bracket and say, first round is going to be Big 12 versus Big 12, SEC versus SEC, blah, 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 blah.
Well, you know, and that's then, a good idea. But and what do you do with the at-larges and the other?
You make them play each other too and say, and it may be something to where it can be, if the SEC has the number one team and the number two team, then it can be the at-large team can, if it's an SEC team, can swing in. And then that way.
Interesting idea. That's an interesting idea. Yeah, you just split. Every conference has to have, because the only one that doesn't have that now is the Big 12.
And people would complain about it.
The ACC does, right? They have the two divisions in the ACC, right? So you get the Big 10, the SEC, and the ACC with the two divisions? I can't remember.
No, I don't think anybody has divisions anymore. The Big 10 doesn't even have it.
Yes, they do. Don't they?
No, they don't. No. When did that change? Iowa plays everybody, like 2 years ago, when they added the new teams, I'm pretty sure.
All right, let's just see what we got here.
That's why it was Ohio State, Indiana in the championship and not Iowa versus Ohio State.
Oh, God. I gotta
Big 10 West everybody. Isn't a thing anymore. And the ACC doesn't have a division either. And the SEC doesn't
Yeah, I couldn't remember if the ACC did anymore. Because we got those weird. Well, okay. Well, you'd have to go back to divisions then for your formula. And that's an interesting idea, though. That's a pretty good idea.
People would complain about it, though, because we'd be getting whatever, Georgia, Alabama in the first round. But who cares? You got to beat them anyways.
Yeah, at that point, once you get in, it doesn't matter. Like, that's what I always say. Sometimes we overthink this. Like, it doesn't. Once you get in, just play, because I'm far more offended by the amount of time we take, right, to get there. If you just turned everybody around and played and you got to the championship by New Year's Day, what are you going to complain about? Oh, my first round matchup was too hard. Well, okay, well, you weren't going to win a national championship anyway then, so who cares, right? I kind of like your idea. I'm going to spend some time on that. I like it. I do like it. But either way, it's been a good college football playoff. Hopefully it continues to.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we welcome in Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider. Just per our last conversation there, Jalen, you're a Georgia guy. You're Bulldog, yeah? What do you think about your precious SEC, 4-10 in the bowl season this year? Take our shots. I don't care about your SEC so much. I didn't even know you guys got rid of divisions 2 years ago. What do you think about this season? No title representation for the beloved SEC.
It's okay. Everyone has to have their chance with the pie. Everyone has to have their chance in the sun. The SEC is always going to be there. So, if the Big Ten gets their third consecutive title, congratulations to them.
Sure hope not. You're not taking the bait like I hoped you would, Jalen. We appreciate you being here with us. Let's talk Royals. Let's start with arbitration, because that's the most topical. Looks like Bubic and Pasquantino are headed to arbitration. I'm a little surprised on Pasquantino. I'm not as surprised on Bubic. What's your feel for this?
I think it's just a way for them to try to get the money that they feel like they want and probably deserve. I mean, look at Vinny Pasquantino. He had a career year. So his ability to make substantial gain as far as, you know, what he did production wise on the field, maybe that should correlate to a better deal for him. You talk about a guy that hit over 30 home runs, was sixth in the league in RBIs. So I could see why him being a first time eligible player that he wanted to try to set the course in motion to get the most that he can get as he's a member of the Royals. And as for Chris Bubich, he's in his final year of arbitration before he goes to free agency at the end of this season. So it's a matter of how much do they value him for what he did before he got injured and what he can do this season. And it's potentially it could be his final year with the Royals.
I think the biggest conversation to have about the arbitration stuff going on, by the way, I had to look up all the arbitration rules because the Royals haven't done this in 3 years. So they're you know, attacking it with both of these two. The numbers are on the table. I don't know if you've seen them. Mark Feinsand said that it's like a $500,000 difference for Pasquantino and $1 million difference for Chris Bubich. Compare that to, you know, Tarek Skubal's $20 million difference in his. You don't think that – was there not, like, you know, any middle ground they could have found with either of these guys? That's the thing that's most surprising, is that the numbers are so small in the difference.
Yeah, and it's also important to know, too, TJ, that they can still negotiate with both players up until – the potential arbitration hearing deadline. I mean, that they have.
We don't have a date on those, do we?
I don't think there's a date that's been set yet. But like you guys are saying, like, there's a chance that those numbers could be amendable. They could come to an agreement or things of that nature. So it's not as dire as a Tarek Skubal, like you mentioned, because these two players, they're going to be Royals in 2026. So that's the one thing to keep it in the forefront. This is just a matter of financially what works best for them in their respective cases.
Vinny Pasquantino, I'm just looking through, you know, depending on which place you look for WAR, Fangraphs has him the last 2 years as the 16th best WAR in baseball. And he himself has pointed this out. I don't know when this was. It's sometime in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Like, he gets it. Like, he's got to be better at a lot of things to increase that value. A fan was trying to say, like, oh, they don't appreciate you enough. They need to give you a long deal. And he's like, nah, man, I got to play better. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm a little surprised that one got to arbitration, because, you know, that's the Royals' case. Like, we love you, Vinny, but, you know, by the metric that everybody loves to use in negotiations and all these things now, and players love it, the 16th best first baseman in baseball. Offense.
Yeah. Like, and you have to look at it, too. Yes, last year was his first really full season where he was healthy all year. Before that, he had injuries that were in different parts of the season that kind of, you know, put him on the sidelines. So, I mean, for him to put it all together last year, and that's his first real year where it was like, ah, this is what it could be. You know, I think that is something that he's considering. Hey, I should, you know, get the money that I deserve, but also, for the Royals, like you said, can you do it again? You know, can you be the guy that we can count on for another year and a year after that? You know, and I think both sides understand that.
TJ's got a mute there. So Jalen, okay, so the arbitration's there. You've told us the chances that they could sign them is there. What do you think the chances are the Royals make another big move? We've all expected the big trade. Last time we talked to you, we thought there was going to be a big move. They have made a big move. They've made some smaller ones. They've made some, quite frankly, that I think make a ton of sense and that I've loved, but it hasn't been the big one. Is there still the appetite for the big one, or are we pretty much looking at what we're looking at with this roster?
I think there is an appetite for the big one. But like I wrote before, and last week I said that the Royals are basically just window shopping at this point. Just looking around, trying to see what could be open and available with the remaining market. And is it worth sacrificing a starting pitcher to go ahead and go over the top? It's pretty known that the Royals like Jaron Duran and they like Brandon Donovan, but do you like them enough to give up a Cole Reagans? And they do not. So no. That's why Cole Reagans is still on the team and they don't have either one of those players. They don't want to give up any high priced prospects for Brendan Donovan either. So the asking price for both of those guys are just too high. And I think that the Royals are pretty confident in their team they have now. Now, if they do make another move, it'll probably be someone for the bullpen, get another left-handed reliever in there, because they lost Angel Zerpa and they lost Sam Wong and others this offseason. So maybe they'll fill in there. But as far as getting another bat, maybe a utility guy, could see someone like maybe Adam Frazier. I mean, returning, they love what he did. He brought to the team as far as his leadership and veteran presence. But as far as the big move, the big fish, it would have to be something where either prices come down or they're just in the mix at the very end, you know, and it could still happen. They got Carlos Estevez in February, and he went on to lead the league in saves and was an all-star last year.
It's true. Based on what we've seen so far, Isaac Collins is kind of, you know, the biggest difference in the lineup, at least. If this is what they rolled out there next year, Jacob and I agree, I believe, is that if they rolled out that lineup, it would be a better lineup than it was last year just because everybody got healthier for the most part. Isaac Collins doesn't do much outside of, you know, everybody else just being there alongside him.
Yeah, I think if you put the roster that you have now and they ran it back, then I think they could have been a playoff team in 2025 if they used this roster last year, right? Because Isaac Collins is someone that's going to be an on-base guy. He plays hard. He's someone that is going to help elevate the likes of Bobby Witt Jr., Michael Garcia, Vinny Pasquantino, Salvador Perez. Then you get Elaine Thomas, who I think, if he's right and he's healthy, he could be that guy that could really step in the gap and potentially give you a 20-homer season, whether that is playing every day at different positions off the bench. I just think he's a great asset, but he has to stay healthy, and he hasn't really done that. He didn't do that last season. But when you look at his 2023 with the Nationals, 28 homers, 20 stolen bases, that's really a great get for them if he's right. And then on top of all of that, I think the pitching is going to have to carry the day for the Royals. That's the only way I could see them potentially getting back to the postseason with what they have right now.
And on the pitching, because I want to go back to Lane Thomas. I'm kind of in on Lane Thomas too. But on the pitching, on the rotation, right now, Alec Marsh will start hurt. Is that right? Is he going to be back for the start of the season? Or is he expected to be back? Because if he's back, between he and Bailey Falter and Daniel Lynch, that gives them, what, an 8-deep potential starting rotation? They won't use all 8 of those guys. But you know, if Marsh is back, then the depth is why we thought they'd make a trade. Is Marsh back, and which guys do you think make it through?
No, Marsh had surgery, so he's gonna be down for maybe the whole season or somewhere close to it. Like
that was like October, I thought was the timeline on that. Jeez,
yeah.
Which I guess is. Yeah, I guess that's right. Man, that sucks. October, late October, like no chance to play at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that he could play. I mean, like I said, but looking at what happened with the Royals and other surgeries of that magnitude, I mean, they kind of brought him along slowly. So it depends on how well he heals, and maybe he could be getting back into games at some point down the stretch of the season. But I for right now, I think the Royals are just counting on him just to get back healthy. But the guys that you said that could be starters, you have the 5 that we know of: Cole Reagans, Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, Noah Cameron, Chris Bubich, and then you have guys like Wender Avila, who they really view as a starter, but he was in the bullpen last year as he got acclimated to the big leagues. Ryan Berger, Steven Kolick, and then Ben Kudnera, who's going to be a prospect to watch out for. Steven Zobat, they both put both of them on the 40-man roster. So they have guys that can step in and be starters. It's just a matter of who is that going to be. Also, I forgot to mention Bailey Falter as well. He's going to be on team too. Another guy that has experience as a left-hander in the rotation.
So what we're hearing there, Jalen, is that the Royals are going to roll out a 15-man starting rotation this coming season and just keep it going all year long. The other big move of the offseason, Matt Quatraro gets an extension. We haven't talked about that since we spoke to you last. fans obviously are going to be divided on anything that managers do anytime. He's the guy that led the Royals, you know, from the worst team in baseball back to the playoffs. He's also the guy that they just finished, you know, below expectations this past season. Do you feel like this was the right time to get an extension for him?
Yeah, I think so, because you have to look at the landscape of things, and regardless of what Major League Baseball and the Players Association do at the end of the season, if there is going to be a lockout or whatnot, you don't want to have your manager go into that without a contract. You know, you want to have that stability. You want to have that person that, you know, can guide you through that point in time and still come out on the other side, and you're locked in, ready to go. So I think that it was a great time for them to keep Q, because what he does and what he brings to the team, I mean, he has taken them to the playoffs in 2024. He's had back-to-back consecutive winning seasons. And if you look at the Royals before that point, they didn't have that since 2014, 2015. So, I mean, at that, just on that metric alone, it's enough for him to stay with the team, because he's gave him 2 winning seasons, right? So I think they all enjoy him. They love his inquisitiveness, his ability to be able to think through games, challenge, just question what needs to be done. And I think that he's what he has with Brian Sweeney and the new hitting coaches that have come in. They have a really good mix that could potentially help them win the American League Central. It's just a matter of going out on the field and doing it.
10 seconds. How many home runs Jack Caglione hit next year?
I'm going to give him 25.
Okay. We spent that whole time and didn't talk about probably the biggest impact on the offense next year and what could go positive there.
Marcus Thames. I think he's going to help him.
Okay. All right. Jalen, we appreciate it. Sorry about your Bulldogs. Sorry about the SEC.
It's all good. It's Indiana's time, I think.
It's almost baseball season, too. Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider. We appreciate it. We'll do it again before the season starts. We're coming right back. Another hour of Sports Daily. Don't go away. And welcome back in for another hour, everybody. Jake Ballbrock, TJ Cleland. Happy to be with you on a Friday. We've got a lot coming for you. We're going to make some football picks a little bit later in this hour. A lot of topics. We had a great CFP last night. Thanks to Jalen Thompson for talking a little Royals with us there. You can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Everything coming for you this hour is on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. Now pouring the brand new seasonal Bock Lager, Bock, yeah. Cold beer that'll give you a warm feeling. Bock Lager available at all 3 WBC brew pubs, east near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano at Handley. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. 869-1240, the hotline is open. You can call in. Tell me I'm a doofus for not reeling college football divisions went away a couple of years ago. Didn't even realize.
What an idiot.
In the Big Ten and the SEC. But you do have me thinking, should it come back in the Big 12? I wonder that a lot. And I wouldn't hate it. And I don't hate your idea either of having the two division winners get in and having to play in the opening round, making the opening round. But then again, you still got to have a conference championship game. Still got to have a championship game.
To be fair, I did not say that. I said nothing about divisions. I said just the top two should get in. We don't need divisions for that.
Oh, I thought you said split them up into divisions and then have the two division winners.
I just meant whatever your conference championship game was going to be.
It's the same problem, though. You would basically just have to turn conference championship games into the opening round of the CFP.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
They're not going to go for that, though, because that's a revenue loss at that point. You know, you'd lose that. So that I don't think anybody would go for that. I don't hate the idea of divisions, by the way, the Big 12. We're not going to have even schedules anymore. So the division thing could be okay. I get why it's a problem, right? You have situations where teams don't play a very good schedule to get there. But Indiana had that same issue last year where they didn't really play anybody to get out to their unbeaten season. That was my problem with Indiana a year ago. They didn't play. That wasn't the case this year, obviously, but last year it was. But either way. And then the other thing, Alec Marsh didn't have surgery until November. Why did that take so long? I thought there was a chance he's back in September this year. Well, that sucks hard. Why did they not have... I was just looking that back up. It's like the second week of November, I think. That's brutal. Not that they don't have the depth. The Royals will be fine. I just don't know why they waited so long. I mean, we knew he was hurt forever last season. Like, what would you wait for in that situation?
While we're talking baseball, I want to bring this up for our shorter segment here. I brought this up to you yesterday at the office. Rob Manfred floated out the idea to WFAN that he's considering the idea of implementing both a split season and an in-season tournament to the MLB schedule.
No.
Not bad idea.
Bad idea. Baseball's beauty is baseball's time of the year that it plays. Baseball's beauty is that there's nothing else happening. Baseball's beauty is that in our busiest, you know, we're in the summertime. Hell, it's hard now. Like, you'll see this at some point over the next year. Like, we don't get to devote as much time and energy to it as we did when we were younger. We don't get to devote as much time and energy into sports viewership in the summertime either. And the beauty of baseball is there's 162 of them. There's nothing else going on. It's a casual viewing experience. You can't mess with that. It's why they never should make the game, that they should never make the schedule shorter. They shouldn't do any of that. Like,
don't
mess with the fact that you've got games on every day in the slowest part of the sports calendar.
I will say I am more so on board for an in-season tournament than I am a split season. The split season is a bad idea. That, if I'm thinking of this correctly, that's the minor league baseball model where you play 81 games.
Well, that's dumb still. That's very dumb.
Yeah. What did you think that was?
I thought you meant play it like with a gap in between for some reason, for some dumb reason.
No.
Like you take a month off or something. And I don't know, but you're talking about just for the, no, that's a dumb idea.
Yeah. I think
minor league is smart because you have call-ups.
Exactly. And minor league, you do it because it's not the same team in October that it is in whatever, May. And so in the MLB, it's not the case. So I think that every game should matter towards a playoff run, not be if you won the first half of the season to get in the playoffs. That's what it is in minor league baseball. They don't need to do that. An in-season tournament, though, I honestly am okay with thinking about that idea more so, but they can't do how the NBA does it to where it's like, all right, Friday night are the NBA Cup games. This matters towards your group play, and that's what's going to set up the bracket.
You couldn't do it because we already have – like, we have innings restrictions. Like, anytime you think about any of this with baseball, just think about, okay, well, what do you do with the pitchers, right? Like, you're going to – does that mean you're adding more? Are you taking games away somewhere else? Like,
if they were going to do this, the hard part of doing an in-season tournament is that it would take – basically a month off of the league to do this, because that's how, you know, and in the playoffs, like, and obviously those are 7-game series, but like it takes a month and a half to get to a World Series champion half the time. And so it's like, what do you do to, like, if it was a single elimination baseball tour, like, it'd be fun, but it would just be impossible to do without saying, like, all right, if you're eliminated, just take 3 weeks off.
What are they playing for?
I don't know. Give them $1 million like the NBA does.
Yeah, no, I think we have a great tournament in baseball that's played every year. It's called the playoffs, and that's fine. It's good.
It's true, but it's, I mean, I'm with him. I'm not with him, but I do think that it's hard, and you and I can agree on this. Whenever there's 162 games, like, it's the hardest sport to stay engaged with, because it's just like, well, they lost. That means nothing.
I actually think it's the easiest to stay engaged with if your team is competitive. I don't think, listen.
But even if your team is good in June.
I don't agree with that, because I will get, you'll find out this summer, I guess. Like, losses piss me off. If the team's good, like, it doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday in August. Like, if the Rangers, the Royals, especially now, because, like, if they're on a Tuesday and they blow a lead in the seventh inning, like, I'm hot the entire next day. Like,
I am too, and I'm a baseball sicko. I'm just saying, the reason why the NFL is the greatest moneymaker in sports is because every game matters. And that's the hard part about baseball, is the way that they've built the model is that every game doesn't matter. And
if you lose the division by one game.
I know, in hindsight, it happens and things of that nature. But like, the thing I always tell people is that, like, for us, you go cover a Royals game on a Sunday afternoon against the Guardians and they lose, you go in the locker room and they're just, you know, it's like, yeah, it sucks. We wanted to win that game. We ought to go again tomorrow. You know,
I think all of it is based on how competitive you are. I mean, it was that vibe the last 3 weeks of the Chiefs season, 4 weeks of the Chiefs season.
Well, yeah.
So it just, like, if you're good, if you're competitive, like, that's what, and that's why, like, it's everything. Like with the Royals right now, it's been more fun than it has been in a decade the last couple of years because they're good. And every day we can talk about them because if you're into it, you're like, that impacts my next day. Like that's going to have an impact on how I feel the next day. And the beauty of baseball is you get right back out there. You don't have to stew on it for a week. Like you can have the roller coaster of a competitive baseball team, I'll always say is the most fun thing to me in sports. It's not, you know, I'm not telling you that I love, you know, baseball more than I love the NFL at this point in life. That's probably not true. But the ride of a good baseball season is the most fulfilling.
It is, but you don't realize that you're in it until you get to August or September. Right. And then that's the best month in baseball. If you're in September and your team is competitive, that is the most fun you'll have watching the sport. 100%. I'm with you on that.
I just think one of the strengths of baseball is that it's the summer. Like there's a billion things going on, especially if you have kids. Like you literally have stuff every day. Like you're just like this time of year in the fall, it is a fight to get to the TV. Like these early tip times, like I say, it's a 6:30 tip time. Like, man, I'm probably not getting to that game till the second half. Like just cause I've got like soccer practice or whatever. Like there's just something every day. In the summertime, yeah, you're busy. You might be around, but at 7 o'clock on a win, like you ain't that busy. You're probably able to just turn on the game. Like what's going on? I'll just turn on the game. You know,
I agree that it's beautiful that there is something on TV every night and it's always your team. That's the hard part too of the NBA. Why I've lost my interest in that throughout the years is that it's just like, well, what's on tonight? It's like, oh, I can watch the Spurs Rockets. I don't care about that game at all.
We have an attention span. Like we only have so much capacity. So for me, and the reason like college football, and I've said this a million times on this show, the reason things slip through the cracks or I don't pay as much attention to the SEC or the Big Ten, I don't have time. I barely have time to pay attention to KU and K-State, let alone what's going on in the conference that they play in. So when things happen in the other leagues anymore, like it's harder for me to get there. In the NFL, like you watch your team, like the NFL's beauty is that it's owned a day of the week. But with baseball, like you're just our attention. We don't have as many things fighting it as we do this time of year. So to say we shouldn't play baseball the way, like I think the beauty and the strength of baseball is that it's every day in the time of year where we can pay attention to it every day. If we played Major League Baseball in the fall, doesn't it like. I don't think it would be the same. It would because we just wouldn't be able to watch it as often.
Probably. Yeah. Anyways, back to the original point here. If they could, it would have to be something along the lines of like what the NBA is trying to do of the All-Star tournament now, which is a crazy idea too. It would have to be like All-Star break week. The top 8 teams in baseball are playing single elimination for the week, and then we'll name a winner on Sunday, play the home run derby before the game or something. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, the All-Star game is also fun in baseball. I don't know. Nick, that needs to mess up.
We also have the World Baseball Classic, which I don't want to overlook.
It's in March.
I know. It's before the season, but it is a little something special and extra. Maybe you could play it a little more often. I'd be down with that. But we'll come back. We've got football picks when we return. Don't go away.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. We got the full gang in this morning to make some picks. Back on schedule. It's a Friday. We are going to pick 7 games because there wasn't really a good way to break it up. One more CFP and 6 NFL playoff games this weekend and into Monday Night Football. So we'll pick 7. We're going to start running out of games soon enough. So that means we've got a little less time to get through each one. So real quick, TJ, where do things stand coming into the week?
Jacob, let me tell you, my OCD is going crazy because now we're picking 7 games. I had to change my spreadsheet format. I had to add a row. This is pissing me off. Last week, we had 3 of us go 3-3. Jacob, TJ, and Brandon all went 3-3 because Brandon and I had the same exact picks last week. Paul went 2-4. Tommy with another 1-5 week, back-to-back 1-5 weeks. Jacob leads 60-59. TJ and Brandon both at 59-60. The other guys, they're out of it. Who cares?
All right. I wouldn't say Paul's out of it yet, but bold. He's going to have to get bold here.
Yeah, I've got to think outside the box, Jacob. That's what I'm going to do. After all, I'm champion until otherwise.
All right, let's get it started. Max, hit the music.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, we're going to start with the other CFP, Oregon, Indiana. I'll go first in the overall lead. Indiana's a 3.5-point favorite. Boy, this one's hard. Indiana is the wagon, I think, in this, but Oregon's defense was so dang good last time. I think I'm going to take the points here. I think we're going to get another close game. It was 3.5 last night. It was a 4-point outcome. I think it'll be another close game. Because I'm having a hard time picking it, I'll just default to taking the points. Give me Oregon plus 3.5. Brandon?
Love that you're on Oregon because I'm on Indiana. This is where the tides turn, and we'll be both have 60 wins going into the weekend. I love it.
TJ.
I'm taking Indiana as well. They're really good at football, so I'm going to pick them.
All right, Tommy, what do you think?
I mean, you guys have told me I'm out of it, so I don't know if it really matters who I'm picking. So
might as well
hang out here. I'm going to take Oregon. I'll take those points because why not? I've got nothing to lose.
Paul, break the tie.
Well, I'll tell you what. Tommy's taking Oregon. I think I probably am smart to take Indiana. And by the way, I'll pick one up on you too, Jacob.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the NFL. Rams, the big favorite this weekend. 10.5. 10.5 is where I've got this number. Brandon, you comfortable with 10.5 points in an NFL playoff game?
I was comfortable with taking the points in Miami, Ohio State, Michigan, but thank God for picking. Finally, a big spread. Go ahead and give me the Rams. They ran all over the Panthers a couple weeks ago. Would have won if it wasn't for two Stafford picks. Rams get it done this time.
TJ.
I am going to take 10.5 points in a playoff game. What an absurd number. The Panthers are the feel-good story of my life. I'm taking those points.
Tommy.
Again, doesn't really matter what I pick, so let's have some fun. I'm going to roll the dice and take the points. Give me Carolina.
Paul.
You know something? That is a lot of points, but I don't really care. Already you got TJ. He's taking the points. So, you know, I'm going to give the points. I'm going to go ahead and I'm hold on just a second. Okay.
Wait.
I'm torn on this because I think.
Come on, Lee Corso.
I've got to make up ground. I'm just going opposite TJ. Who did you take, TJ? I forgot.
Carolina.
I'm taking the Rams.
That's what it's, we're back, baby. We're back. Look, I this is the hardest year I think it has been to pick a Super Bowl champion based like once we get to this point, but I think it's the Rams for me, so I'll take the Rams. I think they're way better than Carolina. They're going to go on the road and win by 11 points. I guess we'll find out. Packers, Bears. TJ, you're first here. Bears, 1.5-point home dogs.
I talked to Peyton Sanders yesterday at Storm Team 12, and he told me there might be snow flurries in this game. If you're giving me points at home in Soldier Field in a snow game, I take it Chicago every time.
I hear Chris Berman in the back of my head with this game calling the highlights. Tommy, it's been since Chris Berman was relevant that the Bears have been competitive against the Packers, probably. Is now the time?
Well, I think the question becomes who's got more pressure? Is it Matt LaFleur or Ben Johnson? And it's absolutely Matt LaFleur. So I'm going to take the Packers for that. I'm going to lay the 1.5. I think Green Bay can get it done.
That's what you're stubbornly supposed to say. Man. The Packers are Super Bowl champion, and I'm going to stick with them. I mean, they're alive. You still got them. My Ravens-Lions Super Bowl prediction is not working out so well. Paul, what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think I have missed on the Bears a lot this year. I've got a feeling that this may be the Bears game. By the way, both these teams are located where it gets cold. So, I mean, you know, you can go out and practice outside if you want. If you're the Bears, you're going to get used to – you'll be used to the cold. I'm not so worried about the weather on this particular game. I think the Bears probably – pick this game up. Is it going to be close? Yeah. Is it going to go down to the last minute? Yeah. Is it going to go down to possibly a field goal? Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and take the Bears.
Packers are one of the very few teams I don't particularly want to see make a Super Bowl run. That's one reason. And the other is, man, I can't quit the possibility of a game in Chicago where the Bears finally get that monkey off their back to beat the Packers and to advance in the playoffs. Give me the Bears and the 1.5. That brings us, Brandon, you got to finish this off on this one.
Chris Berman, call back. The Packers going back to the divisional round. They're going to cover and win.
That's what they do. Bills, Jags. Tommy, you'll be up first here. Jags are 1-point home dogs.
I'm going to take Jacksonville solely because, Jacob, you think that they're a fraud.
To be fair, I don't anymore. Yes, I'm
going to take the Jags, and I'm just going to say Duval.
Paul?
Well, listen, the Bills are a quality team no matter how you slice it right now. It's hard to go against quality. It's hard to go against, I guess, a tradition of this particular episode of the history of the Bills. I'm going to take the Bills just based upon – dang, guys, they're still a really good football team.
I infamously and incorrectly, for what Tommy's referencing, if you're just listening, have been calling the Broncos and the Jags frauds all year for fun. I was wrong about the Jags. They're not frauds. They're very good. And they got better at the trade deadline, and it's showing. And Trevor Lawrence is a little bit unlocked. And I actually think they may be up and down, top to bottom, a more talented team than Buffalo. But Buffalo has Josh Allen. This is Josh Allen's opportunity. We've seen him wear the Superman cape plenty of times. This might be Buffalo's worst team of this little recent era. But I'm going to take the Bills
and make the Jags earn it. This is a Josh Allen bet. I'll lay the point and take him, and I'm good with it. Brandon?
Yeah, I think this is my least favorite game to pick of the weekend, but if the Bills don't win, Sean McDermott probably is looking for a job come Monday. Go ahead and give me the Bills.
Boy, that's an interesting opening, too, with John Harbaugh on the market if that comes available. TJ?
Tommy, I'm going to throw you a bone. Enjoy your island down in Florida. I'm taking the Bills.
Let's go. That's a good island. Jacksonville is playing so freaking well right now. All right, 49ers, Eagles. Eagles are five-point home favorites. Good luck, Paul. Good luck with this one.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, this is really tears me up. 5 points is a lot. Do I think the 49ers are going to win? I don't know. I guess it just depends upon how Purdy plays. I don't know. I have a tough feet. Hold on just a second. Help me out, Max. Who do you got, 49ers or, you know, you're as good as me on this one, 49ers or Eagles?
Who's the Super Bowl champion?
Okay. Is that your pick?
Yes.
All right, we'll go with
Saquon Barkley could finally have a good game and run.
All right, I'm going.
A.J. Brown. Come
all right.
On, Paul.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Max. I'm taking the 49ers.
There we go. There it is. Pull the rug out. I despise both of these teams on a personal level. I keep saying, like, the Eagles will be fine when they get there. I mean, they haven't looked good in forever. They find ways to win these games, but at least we've seen the 49ers look really good at times down the stretch here. I'm going to take 5 points in the 49ers, and I actually feel okay about that. Brandon?
This is the weirdest spread of the weekend. Just in the sake of gamesmanship, I'm also going to take the 49ers.
TJ?
Just in the sake of gamesmanship, I'm also going to take the 49ers.
All right. Tommy?
you're going to give me a Philly
Let's just,
island.
Come on.
Do it. We all know you love Nick Sirianni and the Eagles. Just take it.
I hate Nick Sirianni. I hate the Eagles. And I actually really like the Niners. I guess the only shred that makes me feel okay about taking an Eagles island is the fact that even though Brock Purdy looked really good for a few weeks coming back, he looked really bad last week in that final game. That's, I guess, the only justification I can give. So I will reluctantly take Philly. I'll take that island all day to five.
After everything Brock Purdy did for you in the fantasy football playoffs, you're going to turn
your back.
He won
me a championship.
I'm aware. I'm very aware. Chargers at Patriots, -3.5. Paul, you get to start. No, you started us off last time, didn't you?
No.
Or did you?
No, I'll go ahead and start it right now. I'll tell you what. I have missed on the Patriots all year long. I'm ashamed of myself. And I call myself a football guy. What's wrong with me? I've taken the Patriots, and I'm finally getting on board.
You're just in the same room as Max, and you're scared. You can admit it. It's okay. You can admit it. You know
what,
Max?
All right, I'm scared.
You know what, Max? Stick it in your Patriot takes, and you can't get past the last 20 years.
Up on her, Max.
My wife lives in the same house as me, and she is loosely used to be a Chargers fan.
Max, you don't have to take that.
I'm going to take the Chargers. I'm going to take the 3.5 here. I'm taking a lot of points in this week, and it's dangerous, but I'm going to take the Chargers. Get out there and earn it, Patriots. We all know they've played a soft schedule.
The Chargers. So did the 99 Rams.
Oh, there you go, Max. Attaboy.
There he is.
There he comes.
What happened, what happened?
What happened when Brady walked in Arrowhead?
Team
what happened?
Your Patriots.
What happened when Brady walked in Arrowhead? Stick
it. Give me the Chargers, +3.5. I'll take L.A. and call them the San Diego Chargers this weekend. Brandon?
I respect your time. Tommy, give me the Patriots.
TJ?
I'm taking the Patriots, too, even though every time we get Max excited about the Patriots, he says it's a rebuilding year. He's hedging already. I'm not. Patriots are good.
They're very good. They're very good. I think the Chargers are good, too. Can Herbert get it done, though, Tommy, running for his life most likely in this game?
Yeah, no. The Patriots are, in my opinion, a wagon. I think Mike Vrabel is probably the best coach in the NFL. Give me the Patriots. I'm going to lay the 3.5.
3.5 points. Okay, and then Monday Night Football. Texans and Steelers comes back around to me. I think it should have on the last one, but we'll do it on this one. So Steelers are 3-point home dogs. Guys, I've struggled with this one. And I'm struggling with the fact that I don't really like Pittsburgh, but I keep falling for this old man Rodgers story. I'm taking the Texans, though, because I think that the Steelers are vulnerable over the top. Nico Collins and CJ Stroud have found a little mojo. And that defense is going to make it a not fun experience for the old man. Give me the Texans. I'll lay the points. Brandon?
give me the Texans, and hopefully we never have to watch Aaron Rodgers play another football game after this.
Wow. You haven't been entertained this year by old man Rodgers?
I'm a Vikings fan. Come on.
That's true. All right, TJ.
I'm taking the Steelers. I'll fade both of you. This is my time to shine.
Okay, it is. You can make a comeback. I mean, Rodgers and Tomlin, are you in this? Are you in on this, Paul? You're Mr. Hard Knocks and all the great behind-the-scenes storylines. Have you bought into any of this?
You know something? I think I'm going to at least this week. I'm going to take the Steelers, and here's part of the reason. It's a fascinating story. Is Rodgers playing his last pro football season? We don't know. I think it's fascinating. If he is, I think it's an interesting story, and it's a story that it's going to be a football team that rallies to their Hall of Famer, and they're going to win a Super Bowl for him. It could be feast or famine for the Steelers. I'm going to bet on the feast for the moment. I'm taking the Steelers.
You know, Tommy, the Chiefs could maybe need a quarterback the first few weeks of the season. Rodgers could be out there. You know,
I heard he is the NFL MVP.
Yeah, don't even float that into the universe. That's a really dangerous thing to be talking about. I think, you know, you guys that have picked the Steelers, you're forgetting that the Houston Texans are the hottest team in the National Football League right now for a reason. I'm going to take the Texans. I'm going to lay the 3 on the road. I think that they're going to get it done.
I feel like there is a 100% chance we get the classic Aaron Rodgers stands up from a sack with a big chunk of turf in his face mask because the Texans pass rush just annihilated him. I think there's a pretty decent chance at that, too. That's the picks, fellas. We got through 7 games. We got through it quick. Good luck this weekend. Everybody enjoy the CFP tonight and some NFL playoff football all weekend long, minus the Kansas City Chiefs. Weird. Weird,
weird
stuff.
Weird,
Tommy
weird.
Brandon, thanks.
See you guys.
What'd you say, TJ?
I said, let's recap here. We got 3 islands on the table, and Tommy's got 2 of them, Jags and Eagles, and Jacob got himself a Chargers island. I don't know if you caught that one. You have a Chargers island as we're all
like
riding
that.
On the
path. I'm good with the Chargers island. I can't believe Tommy took a Jags island. And I'm the guy who's been giving the Jags a hard time a lot of the year. The Jags are really good. Like, they're really good. That is a talented team. It's really, and I know it's Lawrence's, you know, explosion here late that's made them come out of it. I guess get out there and prove it. That's why I'm taking Buffalo.
Man, this is gonna be cinema down the stretch. TJ and Jacob have 4 picks that differ from each other, and Jacob and Brandon have 3 picks that differ from each other. So something
lead? That's right on you guys. One game?
Something is going to give. Yes, you have a 1-game lead on us.
Oh boy. Paul, I don't know what – I mean, this is uncharted territory for you.
I know, but I know the term frauds have been thrown around a little bit, at least today, and I got to think to myself, hey, you're in the playoffs. Does that – how many frauds actually make it to the playoffs? That's my question to you guys.
Well, I mean, there's – fraud is a fun term that I've been goading – the rest of you with all year, but Denver is not winning a Super Bowl. How about that? And they're the 1 seed. Does that make them a fraud? wins the Super Bowl, I'm gonna have to like take a week off.
I hope that people come out of the woodworks on this, especially like on TV when all the crap we've talked on Denver, whenever we have people in Goodland watching us,
the thing that makes me feel better about it. And like, this is one of those, like, you got to just dig your heels in and eat it. But we're not the only ones, by the way. Like, that does give me a little solace as I look around and I see people like, yeah, man, they're just actually not that good.
I agree. If the Jags or the Broncos win the Super Bowl, I think I'm just going to tweet Jacob's personal cell phone number.
I've said for 3 weeks now, and it's been a fun thing all year. The Jags are they got really good. They got way better over the course of the season. Like they're the difference between the Jaguars and that annoying, which I think is probably when this started, is right around the time they played the Chiefs. The difference between that Jags team and the Jags team we've seen the last 3 or 4 weeks is significant. Like they got way better. And it's on Trevor Lawrence. He deserves a lot of credit for it because he's taken a lot of crap. So good for him. I actually also like the Jags. I don't like Denver very much.
They got Jacoby Myers, Jacob. That's why they got better.
Yeah, they did. That's exactly why. Jacoby Myers, your boy. He's severely underrated, and he's been a great – look, Brian Thomas Jr.'s had a bad year. What if I had told you the Jags are going to have this great year and Brian Thomas Jr. wouldn't be very good at all?
I would have laughed at you. I would have laughed at you. That's what would have happened.
It is what it is. I'm happy for him.
Quick question.
Quick
question for the both of you guys real quick. Miami last night looked really good, really physical again. How would you guys have picked that game last night if we were picking today? Just how would you guys have picked that game last night?
I don't know. It was a coin flip for me. I mean, okay. It was a 4-point game, so it was a coin flip on the line too. I don't know. I don't want to say the wrong thing now that I've seen the outcome.
I would have probably taken the points, and I would have gotten hooked there at the end and started screaming.
A couple things that we have gotten to and that we have yet to get to that we'll cram in here to the last segment. Real quick, Terry McCauley on something we talked about in the first hour, the last play of that game last night. Terry McCauley, the official, chimes in on social media this morning saying, yes, that was pass interference. He says only at the end. He thought all the contact up until the very end was fine, but said it was definitely pass interference at the end of that play. That's a tough way to, it's a tough pill to swallow if you're Ole Miss.
Yes, it is.
Now, they still got to go make a play. So I'm not like outraged or anything by it this morning, but I do like, you got to make that call. If you're the officials, they had good position on it too. They were standing right there. Like, don't be afraid to blow the whistle late. Like it was pass interference. It was pass interference.
Mm-hmm. Mindset though, Jacob,
did you think it was pass interference, Paul?
Well, a mindset of an official is, I don't want to be that guy that changes the course, the outcome of the course of a football game, particularly a game that's the final four. I do not want to be that guy because that stays with you for a long, long time. I get it. I understand why they don't want to do it because that'll make them the guy. And I get it, but I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of guts to throw that flag. I'm sympathetic to the officials because they don't want to do it. But on the other hand, Jacob, I think we can make a case that particular play, they did not get it right. So let's.
I mean, are we sympathetic? You have a job to do, which is to call penalties when you see the penalties. And
therein lies the dilemma.
I'm afraid of making a call,
but they don't want to be that guy.
Of a college football playoff game.
Yeah.
A couple other things that have come up in the last little bit. I want to get to the Royals, which we didn't get to Jalen Thompson, but on the news with FanDuel. But before we do that, college basketball, TJ, a couple of things that have stood out. The K-State took 36 threes in that loss to Arizona. Jerome Tang says he wishes they'd take a few more.
That's right.
That's certainly something.
Best thing I saw from that was a clip from Sweet Life of Zach and Cody back in the day. It was, good job, men. Let's aim for 40. Maybe Tang wants 50.
40 threes in a game. Okay. I'm not sure that's going to be the path, but all right. And then the other big talking point yesterday, Bill Self talking about Darren Peterson. TJ, what was Self's diagnosis there?
He said he feels good. He's full speed, period. That's it.
Okay. I'll take it. Now, I think we all know what that means, though. He's full speed until he's not full speed, right?
Basically.
And that's okay. Like, again.
But the thing is, at this point, this is my gripe on it. If they're going to say that and they're not going to list him as an injury diagnosis on the injury report, which means nothing, but if you're not going to put him on there, like, then whenever it happens at the end of the game, it's a story all over. It's not, can't be expected anymore.
But isn't that our fault at this point? We have seen now 20 games. How far are we into this? Not 20, not quite 20. 15, 16?
Almost. Yeah.
So, like, it's been the same all year. So now expecting anything different, like, I'm to the point where that's on me. I have a very reasonable expectation of what we're going to see with Peterson. He will play, and then he will have to come out of the game late in the game because his leg doesn't hold up.
Right,
and
that's
that
a history.
Is what we will see.
That's what history has shown you, but Bale Self sits on the press conference and says that that's not the case anymore.
Well, we'll just see. We'll get an idea with
question.
With,
he probably is.
Well,
yeah.
Player management, time management, bench management. That's going to be a fascinating, deal with this particular case. When he says he's ready to go, I don't know that that means he's ready to play.
Yeah.
All the minutes
I think
that
he hopes he is, and I think Darren Peterson probably hopes he is, but unlikely.
I think that there will be a minutes restriction. Paul's right, and that's a different question than being healthy. You can be healthy and be on a minutes restriction, and that's probably what we're going to see this weekend.
I still want to see him start a game. Like, if it's just bizarre to me that it seems to hit at the same point every game. So one time, if it's hitting at the same point every game, maybe try to time it better and have, you know, have it not hit at the end of the game by not starting him as early. And I still think bring him in at 10 minutes in the first half and see what happens, and then let him go and see if that 30 minutes that he can give you takes you through the end of the game. I get that, which doesn't make sense. I totally get it. I get it. But I like, why not try it if we're just going to keep seeing the same thing over and over again? Boy, wouldn't you just love to see him come out and not have to leave the game and score 30 points and go wire to wire?
Manage it.
I
want to
see 50.
Yeah.
How good would that feel? Yeah. I mean, he could go 50, but if he goes 50, KU's not playing their best basketball.
It's true.
They need him to be a distributor at the same time, because
the other part of the conversation last night, my biggest takeaway from the Bill Self press conference, I don't know if you saw this part, this is what I ran last night on 12 News, is that Michael Swain, 247, asked him, how does the world coexist where Melvin Council is scoring and Darren Peterson is scoring? Because we haven't seen that. We've seen separate playmakers,
right?
Separate play from each of them, but never together. And Bill Self basically said, well, listen, they're not Devontae Graham and Frank Mason. That's not how they play basketball. And he said, in a perfect world, Melvin Council's so fast that we can set him up and he'll be open, and it would make everything great if we can do it that way. But we're not there yet. But yeah, we understand that that works.
Yeah. That's what I want to hear, because that's what I've tried, like, for my brain, like, unlocking that. When people are like, oh, shut down Peterson, they're better without him. You're not better without a guy that can score 32 points in 30 minutes. You're just not.
Boy, wouldn't we like to find out
how best utilize both?
Yeah,
right, Paul. Yeah, and that's a challenge, right, when you've got two alphas like that.
Right. I mean, how much fun would it be to see what they're capable of at the same time together? I think that would be fascinating, and it could be devastating to whoever they're playing. I mean, that's my take on it. Together, they could be twice as good. Sometimes that works out like that, doesn't it, guys?
Oh, it does. And it's not easy. Look, that's the other part. Like, we can't sit here and pretend like it's that simple. Just have them be awesome together. They
well,
are
why not?
Styles. That's a what? Great point by Bill Self. But okay, can they learn to be Frank Mason and Devontae Graham? I think they probably can.
Sure they can.
It's just harder, you know, to do when Peterson has to come off and on the floor. Say,
you know what helps if Peterson plays more than 25 minutes
right.
a game?
And,
we'll see that this weekend.
Yeah, that's...
It's okay. Like, again, right. I think... Like, if I'm a KU fan right now, I'm so much more optimistic than I have been the last couple of years, because you can see, like, it's very obvious where the growth has come. The last couple of years, it's been like, how's this team going to get better? Like, where is it? I don't see it. We can all see it now. Like, it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
We'll see if they can get it done. And by the way, we don't talk enough about how, man, Flori Badunga is so awesome. I love his style so much. All right. The other storyline we haven't gotten to. We ran out of time with Jalen Thompson. The Royals and FanDuel have terminated their contract. So correct me if I'm wrong, TJ. You were into this a little deeper than I was yesterday. We don't have right now a television outlet for the Royals. Like,
correct.
Is the plan just to be on MLB TV only?
Well, right now, FanDuel can renegotiate a contract. If they wanted to do that and make it, if the Royals wanted to do that, I guess more so, because it would be a cheaper deal than what they were getting paid by FanDuel in the past. So the FanDuel missed payments to clubs. It seemed like, I don't know if that happened specifically with the Royals or not, but then it's been a mess. So I don't know if they'll do that or not, but basically Rob Manfred, the commissioner, basically just said that we'll figure it out. And that's not saying that it will be this or it will be that, but it's like, we'll get the game somewhere. And so he said that could be a third party, which we talked about yesterday. Third party could be how the Braves play on the Gray TV station in Atlanta. Like, you know,
we had Royals games on.
We
our
could get
air
more
last year at 12.
Exactly. That may be an option. And then I think for the games that, you know, we wouldn't have, that could be MLB.com. You pay for MLB TV and you see the games there without blackouts. That's always been the issue with that, is the blackout restrictions. So in a perfect world, honestly, that people have been talking about this, is that the MLB just takes all of them, takes away the blackouts on MLB TV, and then also puts some over the air. It's a, you know,
or puts them also all over the air, right? And then and then share that revenue with those television partners. I wish, God, that would make the experience so much easier if they did that. But at the same time, I mean, I'm a local TV honk. I'm like, man, if there's an opportunity there to get more Major League Baseball games on these local outlets, that would be really, really cool, too. The great news is you'll hear all their games on KFH right here. No problem. That won't change. My drives become much better from home from work as I can tune into the Royals every day and every night. But it's an interesting – we're at that crossroads because there's a lot of teams – in this spot, and it's been a problem for baseball for a very long time. I don't know what the financial best answer for baseball is. I'll say this, with that and a bargaining agreement on the horizon and a potential lockout and these TV deals, I'm not sure how much confidence I have in Rob Manfred to navigate these waters, and it scares me a little bit. I'll just be
there's going to be some hot button stuff going down
that between the you know, locker room brawls with Bryce Harper and the ideas of having a split season and an in-season tournament. Like, I'm all for great ideas. I love the things Brett Yormark, for instance, is bringing to the table for the Big 12 and the outside of the box thinking. I almost never like Rob Manfred's ideas. I mean, I'm glad we got – I think the sport is better, so I'm not being totally fair because the pitch clock and –
perfect.
The bigger bases and the emphasis on stolen bit, that's all made the game better.
Like,
so I need to probably be a little more fair.
Right.
But I'm nervous right now for baseball.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Paul, we got a minute left. I want to read you this headline and let you react. Missouri senator has proposed to make the UFL St. Louis Battlehawks Missouri's official football team instead of the Kansas City Chiefs, solidifying that the caw is the law. What do you think about that?
I don't think that's a very good idea. I wish it was a good idea. More football, the better. But that's not going to be what he wants it to be. That's just not going to happen. Many a good organizations have taken on the NFL and lost, my friend.
You're nicer than I am. That's an idiotic thing to say. That's grandstanding to grandstand as a politician.
Guess what? Guess what, guys? It doesn't matter who the official team of Missouri is. It does. Nobody cares.
So stupid. Like, get over it, guys. Like, all right, that's going to do it for us here on Sports Daily. Again, we mentioned that high school basketball scoreboard show here on KFH. That's at 10 o'clock tonight with TJ and gang. Looking forward to that. Dan Patrick follows us here at 11, followed by Jim Rome at 2. Saturday, you've got K-State hoops on KNSS and both NFL playoff games. Sunday, you get the NFL playoff games as well. You'll also have Shocker men's basketball on KYN, that pregame at 1:30. Busy, busy sports weekend. We're going to have decisions to make between college basketball and NFL this weekend.
Guess what? I'm going to watch them both. I'll be sitting in an office with TVs on galore.
All right, we'll come back Monday. We'll talk about it all. Thanks for being here, everybody. Thanks to Tommy and Brandon and Paul for making picks with us. Thanks to Max for producing. We'll see you Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.